How many of you believe that? You're becoming something beautiful. That's what God's goal is for your life, to become something beautiful. So don't mess it up. I believe if God has his way in our life, we'll be able to become all that he's destined us to become. Looking more and more like Jesus in his character, in his nature, in the way he wants us to go about living our lives. Stress-free, full of peace, full of power, full of confidence that he's ordering our steps, that we're in the right place at the right time, doing the right things with the right people, with the right attitudes. And I believe that's all what we're pressing for. In this series, we're launching today, January 18th, 2015, called 50 Days of Transformation. We are on a spiritual journey as of today to become what God wants us to be. So we set aside 7 weeks, 50 days, 7 Sundays, to be able to talk about some specific things in our life that I believe God wants to transform, that he wants to help you become more like him in. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, Paul writes this, "As God's Spirit works within us, we are being transformed." And as someone asked on Wednesday night, being transformed into what? Well, Paul goes on. He says, being transformed to be more like Christ. And that could be a little obscure as well, but we know that Christ's character was a reflection of God's character. So really, we're becoming more of a reflection of God's character, which we see in Christ as he walked this earth, loving people, accepting them, laying down his life for them, offering hope and power and healing and salvation to them. And we then also become more like Christ in that we are followers of his. And as followers of his, we go through this constant transformation period, transformation process. And sometimes we decide to stop following and we end up sitting down for a season because we're tired of following, or we get sidetracked or distracted. And sometimes we lose our way. Is that not true? And we have to have a restoration or a revival or a reformation or a revolution in our life to get back in the game, get back in the process of following Christ, because it's only as we walk in his steps that we are like him. Peter said that we are to walk in his steps to become like him. And that's what being a follower of his means. But sometimes we lose our way because we forget that there are certain decisions that need to be made, certain choices that need to be made, certain commitments that need to be made in order for us to stay as followers of Christ, or this world and the enemy of our soul will come, and he knows exactly how to distract us, to get us off of the track. Now, for some of us, it may be something real drastic that gets us off the track. Some of us, listen, it could be something that seems to be really good. It's just not what God has for us. Something good happens that keeps us from keeping our commitment to God. Well, just for a season, I've got to do something other than what God's called me to do on this planet. Or for just this Sunday morning, I'm going to do something instead of go to church. I've just got this one thing to do. And the devil will always come with something that seems to be good or seems to be urgent or seems to be that you've got to do it, but you know in your heart it's going to take you away from what God has called you to do. And that's why this transformation process should be more than the 50-day thing. It's a lifelong thing. But we're immersing ourselves in specific decisions over the next 7 weeks that will help us set some goals. And so today I want to talk to you about goal setting. And as I said to my family yesterday, Pastor Tom doesn't set goals. So I'll be preaching to myself this morning. I just don't set goals. I mean, I have like ideas. I have like things that I think are, good things for me to do, like read through the Bible, and I'll do those things. But I don't sit down and get so introspective I write out goals, and in 3 months I'm going to be doing that, and in a year I'm going to be doing that, in 5 years I'm going to be doing this, and in 40 years, look what's going to happen. I don't have that. It's not me. All right. So if that's not you, then I'm preaching to you too today. If you're one of those that loves to write down goals and try to achieve them, then you're going to really enjoy this because you're going to be so affirmed that you've got it all together here today. But for the rest of us, we are going to learn some things about why goals and setting goals are important, especially setting goals by faith. So are you ready? Ready to go? Our theme verse for these next 50 days is going to be Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Most of you can say it from memory. If not, I think it would be a good idea for us to memorize it. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And let's put it on the screen, Tom. I think you have it up there. He's drinking coffee and eating donuts back there. I don't know. All right. Well, that's all right. Romans 12, 2 says, "Be not," anybody know this by heart? "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Okay? Do not be conformed to the NIV says, the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you're either going to be conformed to the world's pattern, or you're going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How many of you know how the renewing of your mind comes? It's by getting the Word of God in your mind and thinking the thoughts of God. Thinking the thoughts of God. Getting brainwashed. Washing the world's way of thinking out and putting God's way of thinking in your mind. Because if you change your thinking, you will change your life. Literally. And we're going to have a whole message on that in a few weeks. Change your thinking, you will change your mind. So do not be conformed, but be transformed. Meaning, if you're going to be conformed, you're going to do more and more of what the world says is the right thing to do. If you're going to be transformed, you're going to get the Word of God, and it's going to cause God's Spirit in you to be able to do things that you couldn't do on your own and become only what God can make you into. And that's really what our prayer is. It's all why we're here today. It's what we prayed that when we heard the Word of God today, it would do it as it is implanted into our spirit, that it would transform us. Now, because God created you unique and you're not a copy or like anyone else on this earth, if you're conformed to the world, you'll just begin to look like everyone else. This was what's so funny. When you get a generation of people that do not want to be like their parents, they start wearing different clothes and listening to different music. And sometimes it looks pretty extreme, right? You know, like, and they'll think the last generation, they went through all the tattoos and the piercings and all this kind of stuff and the crazy hair and all that. And they thought they were so different, but they all looked the same. Well, that was like when I grew up. Everybody who came out of the World War II era and had all their ducks in order and everything was straight, shoes are shining and hair is all perfect. You know, our generation was blue jeans and long hair and, you know, all that kind of stuff, hippie kind of stuff, you know. And we were so unique that we all looked the same. So what happens is, you know, the world causes you to think that, you know, you need to pattern yourself after that to be unique. And really what you're doing is you're just conforming. What God says to you is that not any single one of you is the same. You all have unique fingerprints, unique voice prints, unique heartbeats, unique DNA. Everything about you is, it's impossible to have another person like you on this earth that is the same. God created everybody different. And you know what that says to me? If you're different, that means there's a purpose and a destiny and a reason why you're on the earth. My mom would always say, Betty Wilkie would always say, if both of us are the same, then one of us is unnecessary. It was her way of saying, because we have differences, doesn't mean we need to separate and be prejudiced or misunderstand each other, but because we're different means we need to work together because one person helps the other person. Where they're weak, the other person is strong. Your uniqueness says you're so important that you have a mission on this earth, and it is your responsibility. You can have people help you with this, but it is your responsibility to find that mission, that destiny, and put your hand to the plow. And as one pastor would say, and what life are you waiting for to do it? And as what I will tell you today is that the clock is ticking. You will only have this life to do it. Now is the time to set the goal. Now is the time to move forward in the destiny that God has for you. So we rise up and we make every day a day of urgency, a day of destiny, a day of purpose. We don't let a day go by unless we're using that day the way God said to rest so that the next week we can get back into the game and be all that more energetic towards it. So God says, do not be conformed to the world's way of thinking, but be transformed into the specific vessel, the specific purpose that God has for you on this earth. It is your responsibility to find out what that is and to be about that. Life isn't just going by where we're surviving. God wants you to find out what your specific calling is so you can be thriving. Delvin, I'm picking up a little on your little cadence here, all right? He doesn't want you just to be surviving. He wants you to be thriving. Now, and in the next 7 weeks, we're going to find seven areas that I believe where God wants to transform us in order to become that unique vessel and live out the promise that God has for our lives. So in order to see transformation in each area, we need to set goals. Without setting goals, we will most likely be conformed and not transformed. Most likely, we will be conformed and not transformed if we do not set some goals, if we do not have priorities. See, goals help us see and reach the potential that is in each one of us. There is no football team that is playing today that doesn't have a myriad of coaches on the sideline pulling out the potential in each player. The coaches aren't playing. But some of them get paid as much as the players do, or more. Why? Because they're there to bring out the unique potential in each player and have them work together as a team. So the results are, we have a higher score than the opposition. And God wants you, sometimes you have to be your own coach, but sometimes God wants you to be able to set a goal, set a priority to pull out the potential that's on the inside of you. Now, one of God's favorite ways of bringing out the potential in you is a problem. All right, I don't like that. I hate that. I think that that's just wrong. But I'm not God. God will cause a problem to cause you to have pressure in your life for you to be able to reprioritize your life to get it back on track to where it's supposed to be, to pull out the potential that's in you. Instead of sitting around eating peanuts, get the potential out of you. I got a lot of peas going on here. To be filled with his power. Goals help you see and reach that potential. Goals help you consider the possibilities of what you can become in God. Goals help you look at your future and make plans to accomplish God's purpose in your life. I'm glad I didn't have potato chips in my mouth while I was doing that. Someone said, the very act of setting a goal sends your life off in a particular direction. Goals give you the knowledge that your life is self-determined. In other words, nobody else can set your destiny for you. Only you, through the goals that you have set, determine whether you're going to fulfill God's destiny upon your life or not. Goals give you power and purpose and make you a part of a step-by-step plan toward the attainment of your ultimate dream and aspirations. So each one of us here has been given a miraculous new year to start, a whole year in front of us to learn, to grow, to think, to become the person that God has created us to be from the inside out. What we have to stop doing is seeing the outside as our possibility and look within and see the potential that God's put there. Because if we have the goals that can pull out the potential, the possibilities that are out here will become more evident become more abundant, become more real, become more accessible to us. Well, why does one person have that possibility and one does not? Perhaps it's the fact that the possibilities were there for both people. Only one set the goals in order to reach that possibility. And what I want you to see today is that there are possibilities in all of your lives that you cannot reach at this moment. But if you begin to set the goals and priorities that God has for you, those possibilities become probabilities, and then they become reality. I'm going to give you a couple of examples here of our own personal lives in a few minutes. But I want you to say with me that this year is not going to be like last year. And we're not going to submit to the same bad habits, negative attitudes, and poor choices that we did last year. We're not going to make the same mistakes or just sitting idly by wishing things were different. As Joyce Meyer would say, some of you need to trade in your wishbone for a backbone. Small steps of transformation are better than big sermons of information. Or, as somebody would say, better a little thing done than a big thing talked about. So, spiritual goals set by faith will help us reach our potential. And here's how we do that. In your notes, why are goals so important to changing my life? Number one, goal setting is a spiritual responsibility. If you have your notes, if you don't have notes, raise your hand. Somebody will run over and get you some. Or if you need a pen or whatever, I want you to engage. I want you to engage in this process. And then on Wednesday night, we're going to talk about this in our life groups. Hopefully, you'll be able to say, I've got a goal in my, these are my goals. This is a goal. I'm moving. I've got set some priorities. Pastor Tom really put a burner under my butt, and I guess, you know, I'm getting off my blessed assurance, and I'm really going for it. So, did you know that God sets goals? God has goals for his entire creation. He's got goals for this earth. He writes them down in his word, in the Bible. We know what his goals are for this planet. It's going to become, he's going to be a new earth. We know that he has goals for our church. It's called a vision. We know that he has goals for our community because he's told us how to reach it. We know that God has certain goals for each of our lives, for yours and mine, to bring about his larger goals. Jesus set goals. He made proclamations of what he came to do, where he was going, what he was about. He publicly would announce in advance what his goal was for the next phase of his ministry. Every person in the Bible who follows God's plans has set goals. In this scripture, in your notes here, from the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, he said this, I know that I am not yet what God wants me to be. Anybody can agree with that? We are not yet what God wants us to be. We can relate. He says, I haven't reached that goal. So his goal was to become what God had called him to be. But he had not yet attained that. He hadn't reached his goal yet. He says, but I keep moving forward toward the goal, making it mine because Christ made me and saved me for this very, very purpose. See, and that's what our goals are all about. It's not just a goal to have more money or be out of debt. Some of these goals are good, but ultimately it is to become what Christ has called us to be. He goes on, I know that I haven't yet reached my goal, but there's one thing I always do. Everybody say, always do. Always. This is so important because this is what keeps us many times from either setting goals or reaching our goal. Forgetting the past and straining toward what is ahead. Forgetting the past, straining towards what is ahead. You just call it, you know, you're moving on. Let it go and move on. Drop it like a dirty garment and just move on to this year. Let go of last year. Let go of all the things that have, and begin to move on. Don't get bogged down in the past of the things that, the mistakes that things people did to you or the circumstances. Begin afresh this year and move forward toward what is ahead. I keep my eyes focused on the goal. Another reason we're going to talk about why goals are so important. It keeps us focused on the goal so that I may one day win the prize that God has called me to receive through Christ in the life above. Now, some of us don't realize this, but there is a prize that is waiting for us. It's really more like a reward. He calls it a prize. It's a reward that is waiting for us, that if we do not press towards the mark and reach the goal, we will not get the reward. Would it be a waste to go through this entire life and not do and become what God's called you to become and then never get the reward? I mean, the very reason we're on this earth is to become what God's called us to be, so that at the end of the journey, we can stand before him and he can say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Receive the joy. This is your reward." Some of us don't know or don't realize that every day is a part of the journey towards getting the prize. So this is why Paul said that. There's one thing I always do. Forget the past and strain forward. Strain forward. Press toward. Press towards. Meaning that there are things that are coming against you that are trying to stop you. So you're pressing. You're getting them out of the way. You're setting priorities so that you can make a commitment to say yes to some things and no to another thing. You're always going to have to say yes to some things and no to another thing. And everybody around you is going to try to get you to change your mind. Circumstances around you are going to try to get you to compromise. Your feelings, your thinking, your flesh, everything about this life tries to keep you from becoming. And so it gives you all kinds of reasons. You know, you will do the wrong thing if you have enough reasons to. But you'll also do the right thing if you have enough reasons to. What I'm trying to do is give you the reasons to do what God's called you to do today, so that you can look at two decisions and go, they're both good. In fact, I'd like the bad one better. I'd like eating or drinking anything I want, anytime I want. That one looks much better than being disciplined and fasting and praying and pressing towards the goal and receiving the reward. I'd rather have the reward now, which is coconut cream pie and a case of beer or whatever. And I won't go any more meddling. Almost. Yeah. Delvin's provoking me back there. I see him. I see him, Pastor Tom. Jump, jump, jump. Paul says this, so he says, underline this phrase at the last of this verse. All who are spiritually mature should think the same way too. All who are spiritually mature should think the same way too about your life, about your goals, about your priorities. So Paul says, I haven't reached that goal. I haven't yet reached my goal, but my eyes are focused on the goal. And how many of you know what? Your life will go in the direction of the things that you look at. It's like when you drive. You ever drive and you started looking at somebody in the back seat, or you look at something, or you're, God forbid, you're texting? You'll go in the direction that you're looking. It's just a principle in life. Got to keep your eye on the ball. Got to keep your eye on the goal. Focus. Focus. I like to tell the kids in the daycare once in a while. Sometimes they jump around like squirrels from one thing to the next. I say, focus. I'm talking. We're focusing on Pastor Tom right now. Focus. Don't worry about that person next to you. Focus. It's a choice, isn't it? It's easy to get distracted if we're not disciplined. You know, some of us have brains that, you know, they call it, there's a certain word for it, attention deficit. Attention deficit, and they do call it disorder, because there's no order in being attention deficit. It's full of disorder. But God wants you to be ordered and focused. Pay attention. You can pay attention. You've got that much. You can pay attention. Attend to my word, he says. Attend to the goal. Do whatever you have to get your life in a place where that goal is being focused on. So goal setting is a spiritual responsibility. If you don't decide what's important in your life, If you don't decide what's a priority in your life, someone will decide for you. It's not a question of if your calendar will be filled. It's who will fill it. Pastor Tom says, everyone has a wonderful plan for your life. If you don't plan your life, someone else will. I thoroughly believe that. Our lives are being planned by our families, our friends, our employers, the marketplace, Hollywood. Everybody's got a wonderful plan for our life. Whose plan are you following? Someone else's or God's? So if you don't set goals for your life, you're letting other people run your life. And if you don't know what is important, if you don't know what your priorities are, someone else or something else will decide what those are for you. So without goals or priority, circumstances will decide your destiny. And circumstances don't create very good destinies. Now, when you choose to walk with what God has for you, that goal that you make, it changes the decisions of things like who you hang around with, what you do on Sunday mornings, what kind of things you read, what kind of things you watch, what kind of thinking that you do. Goals keep you from allowing other people to destroy your life by making bad decisions for you. You know, when somebody makes a decision for you, usually it's not going to be a good one, unless it's a spiritual leader or a trusted friend that has your best interest. Most of the time, somebody's going to set a goal for you that benefits them and not you. That's just the way the world is. And I believe if you don't have goals for your life, you'll be the victim or the recipient of a lot of bad choices. If you don't have goals for your life, you will not thrive in the things that God has for you. You'll just try to survive the bad choices that other people make. You'll be living at what I believe is the lowest level of existence. You're just existing. You're not pursuing or persevering what God has for you. So if you don't have clear goals, you'll just be kind of coasting and drifting. And when you coast and drift, you're going downhill. And I like going downhill. On a roller coaster, that's my favorite part, downhill. But in life, going downhill is not a good thing. We want to go up. And in order to go up, we have to give up the things that cause, the things that want us to become lower and lower. Paul says those who are spiritually mature should think this way. He says, I set my goal, I strive for my goal, I move toward my goal, I keep my eyes focused on the goal. Number two in your notes, goals are statements of faith. Goals are statements of faith. Sometimes, and I'm part of this group, I think, well, setting goals is kind of like more of like a business thing, or it's kind of like an athletic thing or an emotional thing. But literally, the Bible says that goals are spiritual habits that need to be developed in our life. Goals are statements of faith in what God wants to do in our life. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you set a goal, what you're saying is, I believe, which is faith, that God wants me to accomplish something by a certain time. It's a statement of faith. God wants me to become something in this next 50 days. That's a statement of faith. God wants you to believe that he can do this, and so setting the goal helps you get in agreement with what God's already said he wanted to do in your life. And so goals stretch our faith. The bigger your goal, the more faith is stretched. And this is a good thing. This is a good thing. Someone said, I would rather set a goal that I could never reach and get halfway there than to never have set a goal at all and make it. And I believe that pleases God. Faith pleases, if setting a goal requires faith and faith pleases God, I believe that setting goals pleases God. Because if you don't have any spiritual goals, you don't need any faith. And if you don't need any faith, the Bible says it's impossible to please God without it. So God loves you setting goals that are in alignment with His will and His purpose and plan for your life. If I set no goals, I don't need to take any risks. And if I don't need to take any risks, I don't need any faith. And if I don't need any faith, then I'm not producing any fruit in my life. That's why it's important to have goals in every area of your life. Here's this miraculous scripture that's just almost unbelievable. I don't think it's on the screen, but I'll read it to you. Ephesians 3:20. Most people know this. God, and this is probably from the Living Bible, God can do anything, far more than you could ever imagine. Far more than you could ever imagine or guess or dare to request in your wildest dreams. God can do anything above and beyond what we are able to ask or think or imagine. I don't know, most of us can think and imagine of some pretty big things, but that's what the scripture tells us. So the question is how big is it your goal? How big is your God? Because your goals are a reflection of how big you think God is. If you think God can do this in your life, then you can set a goal to achieve it. How big is your God? If you can see the size of your God, you'll be able to take your goals to a whole new level. Because you'll be understanding and believing that God will partner with you to help bring those things to pass. Now, when Pastor Lori and I went into the ministry at however old we were, 23, 24 years old, we went into the ministry, we just began to say, God, we have a goal to be in full-time ministry. And God set a path for us. Okay, this is the first thing I want you to do. So we said, okay, we'll make some choices that help us reach our goal. We'll move to Tennessee. We'll go to this Bible school that you'll tell us to go to. Then we said, well, then we have a goal to serve in full-time ministry. And then he said, okay, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to be in this place every night at a certain time, studying the Bible, doing this, doing this, doing this. And we began to set our priorities according to what God told us to do. Then we got into full-time ministry. And then one day God said, I want you to record a music CD. Well, way back in the day, it was a cassette. A music tape. And we went, how in the world is that going to happen? And God says, set a goal to do it. And because we had the goal to do it, the doors opened up for us. Then God said, I want you to record the CD. So then we had to believe God to raise the resources and have the right personnel. And as we begin to believe God for that, the opportunities opened up. And it was like that. It's been like that for everything that we have done. Then God said, I want you to pastor this church. So we moved back here and we set a goal to begin to pastor this church. And then God said, I want you, this church, to be in the Northridge community. And I want you to purchase this land and build this church and be in the Northridge community. And how did that happen? Because we set a goal to believe that God could do whatever He asked us to do. And then 2 years ago, God said, I want you to start a daycare and a preschool. And I'm like, oh my goodness. But we set a goal to carry it out. And then once we set that goal and we began to do it, God began to put everything in place. And now we have 30 kids in there. We transport about 10 of them. We're getting ready to try to find a van so we can continue to expand our outreach to people who need transportation. If anybody of you want to donate an 8, 9, 10 passenger van, please let me know. I'll be happy to receive it. And so your God has to be bigger than your goals. Your goals shouldn't be determined on your ability. Your goals should be determined on what God can do in you, in your life. What God can call you to do. What you're willing to say, I'm willing to stretch for this or do this. Now, sometimes your first goal to obey God is have to get out of bed. I understand that. But I believe the reason why some of us don't even get out of bed and set that as a goal It's because we don't have a goal that actually stirs our spirit. Because our getting out of bed isn't going to change the world necessarily. But for some people, they need some reason, some motivation. And so one of the things that a goal will do is it'll increase your faith, knowing that God can use you to change the world that you live in, to cause there to be some type of impact or a dent in the world, if you want to use that term. You can make a dent in the lives of people for good. I mean, we're affecting, just through our daycare now, we're affecting 25, 30 families who would maybe not have the opportunity to have their kids raised learning the Word of God, who might be growing up as future gang leaders. Now they're growing up to be future spiritual leaders. Future T.D. Jakes and Billy Grahams and Joyce Meyers. Musicians, psalmists, prophets, apostles, pastors. I know them. We see that. Pastor Lori's got the gift of discernment. She can see the gift on these kids. And she speaks into their life. How they're called to teach the Bible and how they're called to be in the ministry of helps. I got one kid. He will not stop leaving me alone. Pastor Tom, can I help you? Pastor Tom, can I help you? Pastor Tom, can I help you? Can I help you? Can I help you? Can I help you? Yes, you can help me. Sit here and pray for me. I'll be right back. No, I want to go do something to help you. Have a goal that your life then will be in a place where it can impact the lives of the people around you. Start dreaming. What could God do in your life if you would just trust him? So these next 50 days, I want you to start to dream some big dreams. In the business world or in the corporate world, they use a phrase called BHAG. Get some big, it's an acronym, BHAG. Get some big, hairy, audacious goals that you never thought, wow, God could actually use me. I've won my entire neighborhood to Christ. I'm the driver of the van in the daycare. Not just giving a van to the daycare. I'm the driver of the one. I'm playing Bible music and we're learning Bible songs. I mean, I got the kids in the van as much as Lori has them in the classroom. We're learning. We have Bible study to and from their homes. To and fro of their homes. Okay. You know, sometimes you have a goal and all kinds of things happen because you've reached one goal and all these other opportunities open up. You never knew where they were going to be there. You never knew they were going to be there. One thing will lead to the next, but you have to start with the goal. Get out of this little puny thinking that all you're going to be doing on this earth is struggling through your problems. Get to a place where you're out of that little box of limitations. Stop the reasoning and the excuse making and start the faith talk and the goal setting. And you don't have to do it around people that think you're crazy. You don't have to do it around people that think that want to stone you. But you can do it around people that are going to encourage you, like Pastor Lori and me and in your life group and other people who may encourage you. Say, yeah, wow, yeah, well, we'll stand in faith for you for that because at this moment, that's all you got. But you know what? It's better than somebody who's sitting around, well, I'll never have any, you know, and they're constantly beating themselves up over what they can't do. When God's going, if they just knew the potential, they would begin to set a goal. They would have a dream of becoming what I've called them to be. And what I've called them to be, when that dream comes to pass, it's going to impact hundreds, thousands, maybe even an entire city, maybe even an entire nation. Who knows how many people. One day, God put it in Lori's heart to write a book. And was like, how do you do that? But there was a goal. So all of a sudden an opportunity came up and somebody said, you know, you preached this sermon series. Let me send it to a publisher and maybe they can put it into a book form. And we were like, okay, that's our goal. We'll see. So this book came to be called The Costly Anointing. In 1990, the year that Laurel was born, 23 years ago, this book came off the printing presses. and it's gone all over the world. We were sitting in our greeting room here, in the green room with the team this morning, and somebody said, you know, I was reading a blog on a Christian website, and somebody quoted Lori Wilkie from her book. Yesterday, they did that. I haven't read the book for 5 years, and people are out there quoting it today. It's making an impact on somebody's life somewhere, somehow. What about that book God's called you to write? What about that neighbor you know at one point you made a commitment to pray for? What about that family member? What about that idea that God has given you that might make money for the kingdom of God? What about that act of service that you know, God's given me this gift and I really need to use it for him? I know it'll change the church. I know it'll change the community. I know it'll change somebody's life if I just put my hand to the goal or to that dream that God put within my heart. So I want to challenge you to dream some big dreams for what God has for you. Challenge you to think bigger than you ever thought before. Go farther to a place where you actually have to trust God to bring to pass the goal that he has for you. To live your life in such a way that you would fail unless God got involved with you. I don't know how many times Pastor Lori and I stepped out in faith to do this with our books and CDs, church, everything. It's called a big, hairy, audacious goal. But I believe God loves that. You know, it wasn't like Peter was in the boat and he said, Lord, if it's you, just say hello. If it's you, just splash a little water my way. If it's you, no, he said, if it's you, call me to come out of the boat and come to you. That's a big goal. Why? Because it's impossible without God. So if you have a dream, say, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. Bid me to move forward, and I'll put my hand towards it. We are limiting ourselves by money, the economy, our jobs, our family, our experience, our past, everything in our life, instead of building our dreams and goals based on what we know God's potential is for our life, which is only one of a kind. One you in the universe means that the universe needs you to change something, to be about something, to walk into the room and go, things are different, I'm here. Or God in me is here. If I don't get there, if I don't speak with that person, if I don't pray this prayer, if I don't use this spiritual gift, the world will be worse off for not having it. Big, hairy, audacious goals. What is it that is a big BHAG for you? Here's one of the cool things about setting goals. You know, it actually doesn't cost you anything to do this. This is free. Christians love that word. This is free. To our shame. It's good to pay a price for things. But this one, you can sit around all day. I don't have to pay a penny. Just come up with them. Come up with the dreams and the BHAGs, the goals that if God didn't help you, you'd fall flat on your face. You would drown as Peter. You can dream great dreams. I know you can. About your relationships, about your career, about your relationship with God. Stop thinking small and start thinking, God, what will you do if I add my faith to what you've called me to be? Now, you've heard from someone, Laurel probably knows who quoted this, a dream is a wish your heart makes. Well, a goal is a prayer your heart makes. A goal is a prayer your heart makes. And a goal is a dream that you put a time and a place on. You don't always know the time and place, but you have to be it because you are bound by space and time. So you have to say, my goal is bound by space and time. This is my goal. This is when, this is how, this is when, I believe that's good. And what will happen is your goal won't necessarily change anything out here. Because that's why sometimes we just stop with our goals. Because we say, well, nothing has changed since I've done this. Oh, a lot has changed since you've done it. It's just that what you're looking for is you're waiting to see something change. and not to be the change that was set by your goal. Your goal changes you. It's like prayer. A lot of times people don't pray because what's the use? I prayed and God didn't answer it. Oh, wait a minute, hold on. If you think prayer is to change God or circumstances, that's the wrong reason for prayer. Prayer doesn't change God or circumstances. Prayer changes you. You're the change that the reason God has you praying is because it changes you, which changes the things around you. I used to think for so long, you know, all these promises in prayer. I'm like, well, all right. So I pray the prayer and I put the responsibility on God to answer them. And God says, I want you to pray that again. I went, oh, are you hard of hearing the first time? No. Because that one prayer didn't change me enough to cause the answer to come into reality. Prayer changes us before it changes our circumstances. A goal will do the same thing. It will cause your life then to be put into a succession of decisions so that when opportunities arise, you are ready for them. We had to be in a place where we had to be ready for the opportunity to be an author of a book, to be a singer on a CD, to have her CD played on radio stations, to be invited to go to conferences and travel with certain ministers. And we had to be in a place where we were ready to be pastors of this church, to say to the elders of this church needs to be in the Northridge community. We had to be ready to take steps of faith that only God could accomplish. But the way to do that was to set goals so that in our heart, we were confident that whatever God had asked us to do, he would make a way for us. He would open the doors no man can shut. And he would shut the doors no man can open. Your goal is a prayer your heart makes. Number three, goals focus my energy. Goals will just keep you from wasting time, money, and energy on things that are irrelevant. Priorities are crucial for transformation. They help you focus on the key things that cause your life to be effective. We get unproductive and unfruitful when we're trying to do too many things. My weakness is I think I can do a lot of things. I just have to do the ones I'm doing now faster so I can do more things. That doesn't necessarily make me powerful. It just makes me really, really busy. And really, really busy isn't necessarily fruitful. Walk up to somebody next time you see them and say, how have you been? The majority of the time they're going to say, just really busy. Really busy. Oh, really busy. And you go, busy doing what? Well, just everything. Whatever it is we're doing, we're busy at it. Focus. Goals focus my energy. Paul said, this one thing I do. He didn't say this many things, this continuing, ever increasing amount of tasks I do. I know I'm important. That's why the busier I am, the behinder I get. One thing I do, he says, I do not count myself as to have apprehended, but I forget those things which are behind, reaching toward the things which are ahead. I press towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God. So that's his one thing. So the more you focus your life, the more powerful it becomes. Focus in the realm of physics is what causes water or a beam of light to be able to cut through metal. The more focus it has, the stronger it becomes. This light cannot necessarily affect me, but if you focus it so pinpoint, it could burn a hole right through me. Guys, remember your magnifying glass when you were growing up? The sun on the leaves and an occasional ant that walked by? Yeah. Sun was just fine for the ant before until your magnifying glass showed up, until the focus came, okay? Until you took that, what was just natural, and you focused it, and it became so powerful, it could change the circumstances around. Goals focus my energy. Goals will keep you from the distraction in life. You know, I love sometimes these. I think they're probably the autistic kids. You know, sometimes we think they're kind of challenged socially, and they may actually be that. But I think the reason is because they seem to have focus, and they're concentrating on one thing. And then you could tell them how to, multiply 750 by 375,000, and they go, "Oh, that's easy," because they're focused on. They have the capacity to not be distracted by all kinds of things around them. They're focused on one thing. I remember my Greek teacher in college. I mean, he knew Greek history, Roman history. He taught me the Bible, Greek, and all this. He was a fascinating guy. I kind of liked him because he was like an absent-minded professor, but he's brilliant. You've ever been with one of those kind of guys? He'd show up, and he was not married, so maybe this is the problem. But he showed up, and one time he showed up and... he would draw. He had a board, and he would just draw everything on the board while he was talking. You know, it is alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, and First John it says this, and this is how this Greek goes here. And in the middle of the class, the whole board would be full of chalk. And then he'd come over and he'd lean on it, and he'd be talking, and he'd lean on the board, and his whole back was full of chalk. He didn't even know it. And then one morning he goes, "Well, good morning, class." It's just like 7:30 in the morning. "Good morning, class." And his belt was unbuckled. I mean, like unbuckled. His pants are buckled, but his belt was unbuckled. And we're like, does he not know he didn't finish dressing this morning? You know, he's just going right into the lesson and all that. And I said, Doc, your belt. So that was him. And then on the one day, he comes. Of course, he's wearing the same coat every day, even though it's got chalk on the back. He's wearing the same coat the next day. And this one day, I look at and the buttons are gone. His buttons had busted off. His coat, just totally oblivious to it. So sometimes we, who are so sensitive to the surroundings and our circumstances, get distracted by what's really, really important. Did I learn Greek that year? I got the award. Straight A's. I got the Greek Molar Award from Concordia College that year because this guy was just, I wasn't looking at anything else but him. He was so interesting. Sometimes we have to realize that the things that God has called us to do are more interesting than anything else. And if they're not, find out what is so interesting about why you're here on the planet. We weren't born because the Packers needed fans to root for. I'm moving on. Move in it. Stay focused. It'll help you become what God wants you to be when the devil's trying to cause you to become what he wants you to be. All right? If you're failing, just say, "Hallelujah, I'm going to learn everything I can from this failure." Because, most of the time when you set out to do something, a goal, you're going to fail. And my suggestion for you is, knowing that you're going to do that, say, "Well, I'm going to learn from the failure. I'm going to learn from this failure, and I'm going to allow it that experience, that learning event to help me move that much farther forward." And the last one here, goals build my character. Or I think there's two more. Goals build my character. And the last one is this. Godly goals or good goals will be rewarded. Your goals accomplished will be rewarded by people. And they'll be rewarded by God. Proverbs 11:27 says, "Your goals, if they're good, will be respected." If your goals are good, you will be respected. If your goals are of God, I believe you'll be rewarded. Now, the rest of the notes that are on the other side, we're going to finish up on Wednesday night in our life groups. But I want to pray for you this morning. And close out with a commitment. I hope you learned something today. Would you stand up on your feet with me? All right. Felt like a motivational preacher today. That's a good thing, isn't it? We need motivation. I love motivational preachers. Why? It makes me feel like it gives me that boost of, instead of having to motivate myself, I get motivated by somebody who's talking like they believe in me. Like I've got potential to change the world. I love hearing that. But the problem with it is when I turn the tape off or I leave the meeting, I have to go out and actually do what I was motivated to do. So that's what I want to challenge you to do before we leave today, is if you were motivated today to say, there's so much potential in me, I got to go find out a little bit of it and let it sneak out of my life. Let there be a decision that I'm going to make because of the motivation that I received today. So just bow your heads for a minute, close your eyes. Heavenly Father, as we have been motivated today to become what you want us to be, to set goals that are honoring to you, that will change the world, that will change the life that we live right now, that will help us to become all you've called us to be, we pray, Father, that it would not just be motivation, but it would be transformation, that we could be changed into what you want us to be, that we could be more like you through choices that we make every day, to leave aside the mistakes of the past, to focus away from the distractions that keep us what you've called us to do, what you've called us to be. Through this 50-day period of transformation, God, I pray each one of us would set some strategic goals to help us do what you've called us to do, to be the change that we want to see in the world, to be the change that we know that others around us need, but you're waiting for us to grow and to become more of what you want us to be. So help us, Lord, as we make this commitment to change and to set these godly goals in 2015. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you give the Lord a hand clap?